Praise the Lord, everybody. Oh, come on. Let's pretend Jesus is in the house. I said, praise the Lord, everybody. Thank you, Jesus. Every time we do that, the angels in heaven are, praise the Lord, for he is worthy of all of our praises. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We wanted to make mention that the African International Ministry has changed permanently the day that they are meeting. So you may want to put that on the overhead. They're going to be meeting Thursday evening at 7 instead of Friday. So if you attend that or you know someone who may want to attend that, please let them know. Praise God. Is everybody happy? Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. If you're a guest of ours here this morning and never been at Calvary Gospel Church, you may not know that Calvary Gospel Church, Pastor Roy, Pastor Grant, have set a theme for January, and God is really honoring this theme. And the theme this time that Roy set was Put Your War Clothes On. Praise God. It has been working. Last year we had 300 and some souls come into the kingdom of God. See, we don't meet here just to have. We have here microphones that don't work. See how quick that was. And this one still seems to be a little bit off. But that's why we're talking about trying to get a new sound system. Praise God. Is everybody happy? Praise God. If you have not listened to some of these messages, you need to. Pastor Roy started it off with two messages, Putting Your War Clothes On, Part 1, Part 2. Pastor Seidel last week preached a marvelous message on prayer and fasting. And if you've not listened to that, it would be great for you to get that one. And Pastor Grant on our PM service preached another amazing message titled Guarding Your Revelation. And how we must guard the very things. See how fast we did that? I feel like I'm one of those guys that run track. I'm having fun living for God. I'm serious with you. I've tried everything else. Nothing's worked. Temporarily it worked, but nothing works like the infilling of God's Holy Spirit, taking you from darkness into his marvelous light. Oh my, if you're here today, listen. listen to me. You may have fallen 469 times. Get up and get back in the game. Praise God. You can't win if you don't play. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're going to be talking to you this morning about angels in spiritual warfare. And, the Bible talks about angels as being ministering spirits. Praise God. Set to the heirs of salvation. I want you to know that I am not an expert at on angels. Quite frankly, when I was given this title to work with or this theme to go with, I said, well, this will be easy. No, it's not easy. It's a very, very complicated and there's probably over 300 scriptures in the Bible just on angels. And then there's other words that come that are sort of attached to that post. You've got different types of angels. You've got four-winged angels. You've got six-winged angels. You've got two-winged angels. And you got no-winged angels, which probably would be clearer. But you never know. Tell you something about Clarence. That was not an angel. Praise God. You know, and this is kind of one of the things that I'm going to be bringing out today is how Hollywood has mesmerized people with different perceptions about evil and good and how things are actually done in the spirit world. And it's so far from the truth, it's just kind of scary. Praise God. A lot of misconceptions about angels. You go into a bookstore today and you'll see hundreds, if not thousands, of books that have to do with the occult, with demonology, with Satan worship, and so on and so forth. But you see very little books, I should say, that have a real perspective on angels. As I began to dig into this, I realized that was way over my head. But we're going to kind of isolate this. I want to give you a little bit of a background about angels. But let's, before we do that, our text, let's turn to that. If you'd stand with me just for a moment. Second Kings 6, starting in the 14th verse. Anybody have Second Kings in their Bible? Oh, good. Therefore, send ye to their horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. Most of us are aware of the story. Ahab had sent an army against the prophet and his servant. Kind of funny, you think about the two men without weapons, and they sent an army to get them because they're having a little trouble getting them to come to the castle. And when the servant, the man of God, had risen early and gone forth, and behold, a host compassed the city with both horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, you have no clue. You look at your bank account, you're so broke you can't pay attention, you're sick, you looked at the doctor's report, what shall we do? Listen, you are never alone in this world. There are millions, if not billions, of angels delegated by God to the children of salvation. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than that be with them. Always remember this, because there'll be times when your mind begins to listen to the voices of another kingdom, and that kingdom will tell you that you may as well give up. Nothing's changed. Come on. Just come on back to the world that God just delivered you from. It's not so good here in God's kingdom anyway. They try to paint the picture to be very bad. But listen, stay here in the presence of the Almighty God. 2 Kings 6 and 17, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee open his eyes that he might see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots and fire round about Elisha. Praise God. You may be seated. Would you pray with me this morning? I want God's Holy Spirit to direct this service totally. I want the power of the living God to flow through me as a river of living water. Heavenly Father, we come together collectively, Lord, agreeing on this one thing. We believe the word of God. We want that word to go forth, Lord. We understand that it will not come back void. We pray that hearts and minds and souls would be open, Lord, that your perfect will would be done in Jesus' name. Praise God. So we need to understand and pray. Have you ever prayed that God would open up your eyes? Seriously. Have you ever prayed for wisdom? Have you ever prayed for understanding? All of these things that we have been asked by God to be involved in and do, we can pray and God will provide whatever we might need. Praise God. He is not a God that is going to withhold any good thing from us. Praise God. Angels, praise God. Let's go to Hebrews 1 and 14. What are angels? Praise God. That question, don't try to find that answer in a bookstore or in a newspaper or whatever. You need to go to the word of the Lord. Some people have worshiped angels, and that's not good. You need to always remember that angels are of God's ministering spirits. Praise God. Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews writes this. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs, who shall be? I never saw that shall in that scripture before. I had always quoted it as heirs of salvation, but shall be heirs of salvation. Praise God. Anybody here that wants to make heaven their home? Oh, praise God. Isn't it wonderful that everybody in here wants to go to heaven? So what are you going to have to do to get there? You know, usually we all want to go to heaven, if you'd ask people. You know, if you start thinking about the alternate, it gets a little scary and spooky. I don't know about you, but the lake of fire doesn't sound like a great place to be. Not when you can have what we are experiencing here and get heaven to be our home. Praise God. Well, I guess I'm the only one excited about it this morning. Praise God. Throughout the scriptures, we see literally hundreds of scriptures regarding angels and angelic intervention. And I believe that there's a little more that we might glean today from the Word of God. You know, Satan is a master at disguising the power of God. He's a master at disguising scriptures. You might say, well, give me an example of that. Well, listen, a little over 100 years ago, friend, the whole church world had never heard of the doctrine that we're preaching right here today at Calvary Gospel Church. This was not revealed to the church world until somebody began to pray and fast because God spoke to them. If you read the account of the Azusa Street Revival, this was called heresy. They threw stones at these people. They called them demonic, these people that spoke in this gibberish, they called it. But listen, when the Holy Ghost was poured out back at the turn of the century, it was amazing what God had done. And people began to search the scriptures and found, wow, hey, this is in the Bible. This speaking in tongues is no more or less than what? The evidence of the holy God that they were worshiping was not only with them, but he was in them. And finally, there was a sign that you could stand on, and the power of that Holy Ghost would dramatically change your life. I can barely speak English. And the day that I came down to that altar and repented of my sins, suddenly I began to speak in another language. Oh, praise God. You think that was miraculous? You think that was wonderful? Listen, what we are experiencing here is being experienced all over the world. People are receiving God's Holy Spirit by the millions because he's coming back soon. God is not willing that any one person should perish, but all should come to repentance. Praise God. We stress taking Bible studies, and we do that because we don't want you to take our position on any doctrinal thing that we teach or preach. We desire to give you all the information that you need to make the right decision. But ultimately, every one of us will stand in the presence of God and give an account for our life. And you may say and shake your fist, I don't believe that you have to receive the Holy Ghost to be saved. You may say, I don't believe you have to be baptized in the precious name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Well, it's not going to change it. Somebody's right and somebody's wrong. But it seems to me it's kind of cool, the fact that because I believe it, I'm going to go to heaven and you're not going to go to heaven because you don't believe it. It's a win-win situation for the one God tongue-talking, apostolic, blood-washed Christians, hallelujah, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. So we know now that the main function of angels are ministering spirits. But as I began to think about my life, I didn't think about angels. And I don't think we should become preoccupied with angels. I don't think we should be focusing on angels. And certainly we shouldn't be worshiping angels. And I'm not really sure that we have the authority, we might not, to command angels to do anything. Just a thought. Look through the scripture and see what you can come up with. I don't say it's necessarily bad, but you got to remember, unless you specify which side you want. You might get some angels you don't want there. You might get the angels, the one-third of the angels who are no longer serving the living God. Although they'd love to be serving God, now they're just determined to seek to kill and destroy every single one of us. Did you know the devil's trying to kill you? Think about this. Why is it that people hear voices and they become suicidal? What promotes people to jump off buildings? You think it's an angel of God or an angel of Satan? You know, years ago, when I used to go to the Eastwood Theater, you get 25 cartoons for a dollar. You get them now on your television, don't pay anything. There was a lot of cartoons that had a little angel, Brother Grant. You remember that? On each side, there would be the good angel, and then there would be the bad angel. And the good angel would be talking, telling the whoever it was what to do and the right thing to do. And then the evil angel would be speaking negative things into their ear and whispering to them to do bad. That's not a bad analogy of what's happening today. If we don't guard what we hear, if we don't guard what we see, we are putting information in our heart that is going to be very difficult to get out. It's a hard drive that cannot be erased. It's something that will always be there. Memory is a terrible thing in some cases. Those of us who've had the unfortunate experience of living in a world of sin for a good number of years, there's things that just break my heart, the things that I've said and done. But listen, I can't undo them. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for Jesus Christ, who suffered and died that a wretch like me could live in his presence forever. Because you see, I was once blind, but now I see. Praise God. Having eyes, Jesus said, they did not see. Having ears, they did not hear. For 38 years, I had ears that did not hear the voice of God. I had eyes that could not see spiritual things until that great and wonderful day when the Spirit of God drove me to a place of repentance. Oh my God, what a wonderful day it was. Hallelujah. I hope there's someone here today that's wanting to make a change. Hallelujah. Because if you do, you will not You will not be disappointed. Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Timothy 3 and 2. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Roy, Pastor Grant, for guiding this church into this path that we're going. Because in these last days, things are going to start happening that we've never seen before. We're going to be fighting demonic forces in not just demons, but we're fighting governments. We're fighting spiritual wickedness in high places. We're fighting supreme courts. We're fighting things that we never in my wildest imagination the things that are being debated now in Congress and before the judges, it just does not seem real. Picking up a newspaper and finding that a 12-year-old boy brings a sawed-off shotgun into school, they had no earthly reason for that. And he shot some little boy who's still on life support. Listen, we are living in terrible times. But that's okay. Listen, we've got a lot of customers. We've got a lot of spiritual battles to fight. And I want to be ready. 2 Timothy 3 and 1. Know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Man, we are here. Perilous times have come. Listen, hallelujah. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, that's lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers. My goodness. If you work on a construction site, it's horrible. People just talk about your God like he's trash. They talk worse about him than, why don't they say Buddha or Hare Krishna or some other God? Why do they always get on the only true God? Because when Satan directs them to that, that puts them and their soul in great jeopardy. You don't correct these people by talking to them because they cannot receive anything that you give them anyway. But what can happen is you get down on your knees and you begin to pray and you begin to seek God and say, Lord, my co-worker is destined to go to a devil's hell. I don't want to see him lost. I really don't want to see him lost. See, you're fighting that spiritual battle that the pastors have been talking about. That's where it doesn't happen here. What we learn here, we've got to take out to the highways and the byways, into the streets and into our job sites. And remember, we are going to be held accountable for their souls. If you can wake up in the morning and go to work and not have a burden for the loss, you've got a problem. I've got a problem. There is an eternity. There is an end to all things in the natural. But that's just the beginning, for when the supernatural starts, it's forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. My friend, I don't know what's going on in your life, but listen. Listen to the Lord today. Listen to the heartbeat of the Holy Ghost. I want you to know that there's a God here today that loves you and cares about you. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Did I finish that? No. 2 Timothy 3 and 3. These people are without natural affection. They're truth breakers, false accusers. If you're living for God, you'll find that one out quite soon. I remember when James and Sister Thunder worked at a particular establishment here in Madison. It was filled with people that didn't live right and didn't think right. And there was a lot of persecution going on there, wasn't there, Brother? Praise God. But you know, can you believe that there are angels in that place trying to persuade these people? You know why? Because these men and women were praying in Jesus' precious name. Praise God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Praise God. There are a lot of people who say, I am a Christian. Praise God. And I'm thankful for the power of what they have received to this date. But they then turn around and deny the power thereof. The power is the same word that's used in the book of Acts for dunamis. Ye shall receive dunamis after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So So if you are a Christian and you don't believe in the Holy Ghost, you are getting off of the beaten track. You've listened to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, hallelujah. That doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means you need more information. Everybody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Our Christian bookstores, my goodness, are literally filled with books on demons and how to recognize, how to overcome them, what to do when someone's demon-possessed. Praise God. Listen, I don't know about you, but I don't want to meet a demon. I'm not going to go looking for them, which some people seem to make a living off of, looking for demons. What you need to look for is look up at the master of the universe. We don't look for demons. We don't look for angels. We keep our eye, turn your eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our salvation. Anything more or less will get you in trouble. And everybody said, amen. You didn't say it right. Amen. Hold on, that's a different song. You're right, Brother Grant. He's always right. That's the thing that really bothers me about him. He's always right. And when you're a perfectionist and you're always right, that puts the other people kind of in a bad spot. I love them. Praise God. Don't you love our pastors? Woo! Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. let's take a look here at Psalms 68:17. You know, there are a lot of theories about how many angels were created. You got to remember that angels were created being both. All the angels were created at the same time. The bad ones weren't created different. They were all created at the same time. And we know that Satan fell. He took a third of the angels from heaven. And they are now on this earth seeking to kill and destroy you. They are diametrically opposed. Now, it's kind of like the Ann Gayler thing. They're spending their whole time here trying to get people into hell with them. And you talk about a diabolical, crazy mindset. And they know that they're going to be tormented forever and ever and ever. And they just want you to be there with them because they hate God that bad. Oh my. So there's an innumerable number of angels. In fact, I've read in one article that one man believes that there's at least seven angels, and one-third of those angels are fallen. Praise God. Anyway, Psalm 68:17, the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai in the holy place. Praise God. Mathematically, I can't figure that one out, but listen to this one. Revelation 5:11. Praise God. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands. How many angels do we have? You think God's got one for you? You think God's got a good angel for you to guide you, direct you? You know, sometimes you think you're really brilliant because you come up with a good idea. Any of you still in college? Have you ever prayed and this miraculous answer came to you? And you know it was God because you didn't study. You had no earthly idea what that was. And it was a multiple choice question. I hate those type of questions. There was a masochist when I went to college, and the guy was Dr. Radhasada. He was the most brilliant man I'd ever met. He studied political science. He was brilliant. And he taught me more about the political system than anybody had ever met. He told me all about the subcommittees and what really happens in Washington and all these type of things. And I'm just amazed. But then I took a test. And he said, okay. Now, the question is A, B, C, or A, B, or A, B, C, D. for. And it just went down. It's like, wow. How could anybody figure that out? Nobody ever passed this test. But I was probably the worst student he ever had academically. I liked the guy. It wasn't his fault that I was dumb. Okay. Think about angels, according to the scripture now. There's so much information. We could spend just weeks and weeks on angels and the interventions throughout the Old and New Testament, but I can glean some things here that angels are powerful. They're very powerful. They're not anything you want to mess with. You don't want to get tangled up with an angel. They have a lot of power, but God's angels have delegated power. They can't go out and do things on their own. They only do what the Lord tells them to do or in obedience to the word of the Lord. Praise God. The other angels, on the other hand, are not subjected to the word of God. In fact, they'll do the very best they can to twist the word of God. You ever wonder why there's so many different Christian faiths and denominations in the world? And many times it's just one scripture that separates one or two denominations from truth. And others have real doctrines of devils, and others are actually worshiping angels. Well, is it still on? Praise God. They have an inconceivable degree of wisdom. Angels have acquired this by observing God from eternity, watching creation. Can you imagine what it would have been like to see everything that we now see as material, have him be right there with him, as he spoke, and there was light. He spoke and divided the day from the night. He spoke and the stars came. All of these things the angels beheld. So that must have been an amazing situation for them. And they were continually beholding the face of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. When you read the book of Job, you can see this amazing power in evil action. Even the fallen Lucifer has a lot of power. Look what he did to Job. You know, so if you think you can mess with the devil, and we have authority over him, but you want to, even Michael the archangel said, don't speak evil of dignitaries. He said, what you need to do, Satan, I want Moses' body. The Lord rebuke you. You ever just kind of snorting and raising about the devil? Not that we're afraid of him. If you want to pick a fight with him, let me know, because I don't want to be around. Praise God. I want God to do my fighting for me. I want God to send forth whatever needs to be done. I want a big circle around my life. I want to make sure that I don't get deceived into something that's going to kill my soul forever in eternity. And it's really not that difficult to resist the devil and have him flee from you. You need to get into this word. This word, this manual of life, has every answer about every circumstance that's in your life right now. There's nothing hid from you when it pertains to God's word. The problem is that you have to diligently seek him. You know, just about everybody with the right mind wants to go to heaven. But you know, you have to diligently seek God. The Bible says this: God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You know, it's easy in a church like this to seek him, because your pastor gets up and he leads you in this, and you go to the prayer meeting, your leads. Someone else leads you, and your brothers and sisters are praying for you. But what about you and God? If you will diligently seek him, if the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches are keeping you from serving God the way you want to, why in the world would you not just take and move them aside? If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, what happens? All these things will follow after us. But you know what you got to do? You've got to be honest with yourself. You've got to look and let a man examine himself, Paul said. Examine yourself. Well, you know, the Bible says that the heart is desperately wicked above all things. That's why you need pastors. That's why you need Bible studies. That's why you need to know and be. This word is never going to change. It's forever settled in heaven. Ever settled in heaven. If you won't take the time to read it and study it and pray over it and fast over it, what hope do you have? You'll have all these issues and problems in your life, but you've never really tried and committed yourself 100% to God. Listen, He's the answer. I guess it really grieves me when I see people struggling with issues that are already been solved. They've already been taken care of, but you have to enter into that promise. You have to remember that you have sown seeds to your own destruction, and now the field of that you sown is up, and you're going to have to be man or woman enough to walk until you're out of that bad seed, until you the good seed that you have sown in the interim starts to grow up. And all these things that had you bound no longer will have you bound. You'll have the strength through the power of God's Holy Spirit to keep you. In Jesus' name, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not, what? Sin against thee. Praise God. How many of you memorize Scripture? Praise God. Can I give you just a little simple formula here? Pastor Grant taught me this too many years ago. But he said, find a way to memorize Scripture. You should always be studying something. And I said, well, what do you mean? You know? He said, so you don't have anything in your life that needs to be corrected? Well, yeah. He said, well, study that out. Get 3x5 cards. Put them in your pocket. Thy word have I hid in, not your pocket, in your heart, that you might not sin against you. Because in our mind are all these negative thoughts, all these preconceived notions, all these perceptions. And they came there through years of thinking with a different mind. But now, the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Isn't that exciting? Let this mind, you can have the mind of Christ. We've been told to have the mind of Christ. It's just that we have to be disciplined enough to pray. We have to be disciplined enough to get a hold of God like we never. If you're praying the same way you did 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you're in trouble. Is that okay? Didn't get much of an amen or we on it. But it's the truth. You're supposed to be growing in grace. Jesus grew in stature both man and God. Your credibility in the community should be raising, and your credibility with God should be raising. Why is that? Because you're diligently seeking Him. And because of that, He's going to be rewarding you. Praise God. Listen, there's a storm coming. I mean, the worst storm that you've ever imagined. It's a storm that's coming to your life. And there's evil spirits that are designing things to destroy you. And they're waiting until you, at your weakest point, Brother Grant, until you think that you're okay. You think that everything's good. You're doing everything that you think is right, or at least everything that people know about you is right. What do you think Satan's doing? He's just waiting. He's just waiting until there's an opportunity when he thinks he's been doing this since the beginning of time. If he's deceived men like David and men like Samson and so on and so forth, you think you're a problem? See, the beauty of this, these men did not have the Holy Ghost. We live in a better covenant with better promises. But these promises, these weapons that Pastor Roy has been talking about, all of these weapons don't mean anything if you don't put on the armor. When that storm comes, I've seen a lot of people try to put the armor on They wanted to get it. They wanted to be right. They wanted to do what was right. Here's the tragedy. Here's the thing that's coming to you, and you're not ready for it. Why do you think it's coming now? I'll tell you why it's coming now. Because you have let your guard down. You have allowed yourself to become disenfranchised from the Word of God. You're so spiritual now, you don't need what you were doing. The best times of my life was when I first was baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. That was, how about you? When you get the full revelation of what had happened to you, wasn't that when you were most productive? Wasn't that when you could not sleep at night, when you just could not wait until you got into the presence of God? Hallelujah. Listen, let's get back at it. Let's get back at it. Let's put the whole armor of God on. Praise God. Now, I might be alone at this, and I'm not going to say that I can biblically necessarily prove this, but I have a personal belief that everyone is assigned an angel. Now, Brother Grant, he can correct me later, but the reason I say this is that when a baby's born, you can rest assured that there's a demon there. And I believe that we're setting ourselves up, and Satan is setting us up with spiritual wickedness in high places. I want to have my God with me always, even to the ends of this earth. Praise God. The Bible says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So if he's chosen me before the foundation of the world, I believe that there's an angel parked by me from my crib. I can look back. I don't know about you, but I can look back in my life, and I can go through so many instances that I should have died. I should have lost. I should have went deeper into alcohol and drugs than I did. Listen, Satan's trying to kill and destroy everybody. And I believe it had not been for one of these heavenly messengers. The Bible says in Psalms 91:11, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee and keep thee in all thy ways." When I was just 2 or 3 years old, I got a peanut stuck in my lung. And this is back in the days, I mean, we're talking 65, 66 years ago. Can you believe Peggy's that old? Huh. Anybody? I need a ride home today. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, another scripture that comes to mind, just so I can give you a little bit of a why I think the way I do. And I'm not telling you that you should run, go looking for your guardian angel. I'm just telling you about my perspective on it. The Bible talks about the angels of children are constantly beholding the throne of God. So I believe, based on those two scriptures, this is my opinion now. Don't take this for, but I can remember so many times, you know, when I got that peanut stuck, I actually died. I turned purple. My grandmother gave me mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. And the doctors, when they got to the hospital, they thought there was no way they were going to be able to save me. But somehow, some way, I'm here. Was it an angel? I don't know. I'm calling it a win for God. The reason I say this is this, that God's not willing that any should perish, and all should come to repentance. And I don't believe in predestination, but I believe that God is not willing that any should perish. So he tries to keep us alive through every means he has until such a time as we make such bad choices, he has no choice but to cut us loose. When I was 10 years old, I contacted polio. And back in those days, polio was not under control. It was running rampant. Kids all over my neighborhood were getting it. They took me to the hospital. I went into there was a ward over there, and one by one I saw these little kids. They take them out in a cot. I mean, they're dying. And then I hear that some of them are in iron lung. I wasn't old enough to really understand what was going on, but I know my body really, really hurt. But then my pain left. Somebody somewhere was praying, I believe, a prayer of faith, and God somehow kept me from being disfigured, except I'm real short. Can you imagine how tall I'd be? How terrible. Praise God. Later in life, I was in the Marine Corps, and someone attacked me out of the blue, stateside. He ran up to me, a huge man, about as big as John Repka. And he said, "You president killer, you killed President Kennedy, and I'm going to kill you." I had my uniform on. You had to wear a uniform when you were in the base I was on. And he came out with a tire iron, and he began to give me a lesson on why your head is not suited for tire irons. And he beat me and beat me and beat me. And then somebody said, "Hey, the police are coming." And I think, oh, thank God. So I staggered over and I went into the alley. And I have all this blood coming out of me. And I look up like this. And I'm on hands and knees. And here he comes. He filled the whole alleyway. And I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to die right here. But, you know, when you don't know God, you just don't think about eternity and all that stuff. Well, you want to hear the rest of the story? Would you believe that I passed out and this guy is wailing on me? He just wouldn't stop. A friend of mine came in the alley and said, "Hey, stop that." He said, "You're killing him." And he took off after him. So he ran. And I'm out, and all of a sudden, he's back, and I could feel him whacking on me. Well, I'm saying he wasn't just going like, he's going, Now this tells you just a little bit how. So out of nowhere, I get this strength. And when I mean strength, I mean I jumped up. I had this man in my hands like this, and I picked him up. I can't pick this guy up. I can't even talk. The blood was everywhere. And I was weak as a kitten. And I took him and I stuck him up on the wall and I said, "You're trying to kill me. What's my next move?" I dropped him. And I took off running for about 12 steps. I fell into the street. And here comes my angel again. He picks me up and throws me in the back seat of his car. And I bled all over everything. Don't know the man's name, never was able to thank him, but I came a gnat's breath from being killed. Here again, God is not willing that any should perish. Any of you have stories about things that happened to you? You couldn't explain them. You could call them coincidence if you wanted to. I could go on and on for a long time, but let's get back into the angels. Angels of the Lord is different than the angels of the Lord than the angel of the Lord. And I'm not going to get into all that. I started studying that, and it got to be immense. And you'll find that there's a difference between the angel of the Lord. Most documentaries and things I read indicated that was a theophany of the Almighty God. The reason they say that is because he accepted worship. That's the only two places in the Old Testament where an angel received worship. Anyway, enough of that. But we see God's angels at work throughout the Old Testament. Abraham was face to face, saw God on his way to Sodom. And again, the angel appeared when he was about to sacrifice his only son, and the Lord appeared to Hagar when she was cast out by Sarah. And that's, again, called the angel of the Lord. And, of course, we know in the book of Exodus, the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in a burning bush, and so on and so forth. But if I don't hurry, and I'm going to have to skip ahead here because I've been yakking so much, I want to get to Psalms 103. And this is the gist of this message. This is what I discovered as I was stumbling through all these scriptures on angel. There's 300 of them, and I tried to read every one of them and ask God for wisdom. When I got to this one, something began to click. Let's go to Isaiah 55 and 11 first. The Bible says, so shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper to the thing whereto I sent it. And then in Psalms 103, in verse 20, and this is the scripture that is the foundation of what I'm trying to get you today. Psalms 103:20, the Bible says, bless the Lord, ye angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye hosts, ye ministers that do his pleasure. I want you to notice something. It says that the angels hearken unto the voice of his word. So, if that's the case, I could take then the word up here. I need a healing. Well, does that seem stupid? But what does it say here? Hearkening to the voice of his word. Now, look what it says here. Hearkening to the voice. I believe with all my heart that if we, as born again sons and daughters of the living God, would apply that scripture and we would begin to speak the word of God, that we will release God's angels, not based upon who we are, but we are going to release angels based on what it says here in Psalms 103. Instead of confessing your weakness, confess, let the weak say, I am strong. Instead of telling people that you don't believe that you're going to be healed or your finances are going to change, you need to stand up and boldly declare the answer to your problem. And this is when I believe the angels of heaven are released to fulfill God's word. Not your word. God's word is forever settled in heaven. And I'm not going to go into all the scriptures, but Jeremiah 1 and 12, the Bible says, the Lord hastens to confirm his word. In other words, when someone speaks the word of God, God's ready and willing. Thou shalt, that is well seen, I will hasten my word to perform it. He will be there ready to perform his word when it comes forth out of your mouth in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Don't be speaking words that you don't want to come to pass, because if you do, you're going to receive exactly what you say. Praise God, praise God. If you abide in me, and my word abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Do you believe that? Don't put any qualifiers in that. This is the only qualifier that I can find. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, woohoo! Listen, this is powerful stuff. If we ask anything according to his will, we know he hears us. Who hears us? The angels of the Lord are hearing the voice of the word. When we are praying and speaking in accordance with God's word, look what it says here. Oh, hallelujah. And if we know he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we desired of him. Well, put those two scriptures together. If you abide in me, well, you can't abide in him unless you have him inside of you. And my words abide in you. Have you studied? Have you prayed? Have you sought God? Have you done those things that you need to do to prepare yourself to go to the throne room boldly and say, thus saith the Lord? God loves it when people stand up and declare and confirm his word. Thy word forever settled in heaven. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. If you stand with me, I'm well out of time. I apologize for that. But I want you to study out Psalms 103, verse 20. It could change the way you think. It doesn't give any more authority to angels. But what it does is it gives you the liberty. It's challenging you to come and declare the voice of the Lord.